grab your Monopoly board because we're talking about Game Night. That's right, the latest film with Jason Bateman here on Anatomy of Movie. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Anatomy of a Movie.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Your host for today's game night, it is Friday after all, is Marissa Serafini.
Hello, everyone.
Dimitri Panos.
Hey, movie fans. How's it going? Good, staying good. Dry?
I like
it. I hope so. And I'm Phil Svitek. So much to talk about. What a wonderful movie. But before we get into all that, allow me to welcome you, the viewer slash listener. If you're joining us for the very first time, welcome. You can always subscribe, that way you get latest episodes. And of course, we encourage you to comment. If you're returning, welcome back. We appreciate you just the same. Furthermore, we assume that you've seen the movie, therefore it is going to be spoiler filled. And thirdly, you can get our rundown in the description box. It's a PDF. All you have to do is click that and you'll get some tiny bits of information that we'll share, but some of it we won't necessarily get to. As we always kick things off, let's start with overall impressions. Marissa.
I really enjoyed this film. I went in expecting a laugh, and I laughed so much more than I thought I was going to, honestly. I liked Horrible Bosses when that movie came out. I thought that was raunchy, funny, and this one is... It was so funny. Admittedly, I was in the back row in my theater because it was sold out. This movie, like, a lot of people meant to go see it. And I was, like, the youngest person in my row. And I'm laughing at everything. So I'm, like, that obnoxious one that's laughing and everyone else is, like, the jokes just completely go over the head. The jokes are funny. They're comical and topical. I think the great thing about this film, it's funny now. In 20 years, it may not be. But it's still good. I really liked it. It's legitimately funny.
Yeah, I mean, I found it was a refreshing comedy. And by refreshing, I mean, it's a comedy that made me laugh. I mean, those are so... It's sad to say that it's so few and far in between where, you know, we talk a lot of comedies here, right? So many of them are just not funny. And to me, it's a bad comedy is laborious to sit through. There were a few last year. We talked Fist Fight, which we thought, you know, we did, which was very funny. I liked Ladies Night. I think it's called Ladies Night. I enjoyed those. But those are two. And there were so many comedies that had come
Girls
out.
Girls Trip.
And then Rough Night.
Yeah, Rough Night did not like. Girls Trip, very funny. So we had two comedies last year that I actually thought were very funny throughout an entire year, which is sort of sad because comedies used to rule. And then we come to Game Night, and I really liked the trailer, and the movie delivered unexpected laughs, meaning there were shocks to the punchlines. I didn't see the punchlines to the gags coming, and that to me makes for funny comedy when you don't see when nothing's telegraphed and they'll play out a gag and then when you get to the punchline you go, well, that's, I didn't see that coming, that's really funny. Or the shtick, the slapstick, like just moving a dollar bill slowly across a table, doing it once, twice, and then like everybody in the movie is just like looking at the person, and the audience, you're looking at the person but you're laughing because you're in on the joke. Stuff like that I really liked. The concept was, it was frenetic. It had a good energy to it. I liked how it sort of kind of gave a little bit of, like there was a little bit of Hitchcock darkness. There was a little bit of darkness to this movie. I liked the way that it was, the cinematography was fun, using light and shadow. The characters were fun. Admittedly, it's not perfect. I think it runs a little long and it gets a little bit harebrained, and it goes off the rails. It gets crazy when you start to...
Really? You thought this was a long film?
It's short. Runs a little... It's
1:34. It's 1 hour and 34 minutes.
Yeah, it's over 2 hours. And it could
have been... It's not over 2 hours. It was 1 hour and 34 minutes.
Oh, I thought you meant 134 minutes.
No.
Yeah, I felt... I don't know. There were parts, like, especially towards the end, where after the bridge scene... I felt things could have been tightened up, and it gets really harebrained after a while. And like there are so many threads to follow that if you start to dissect it, like we may hear, like things don't necessarily hold, but the characters worked. The actors were great. Not just our two main leads in Jason Bateman and Rachel McAdams, but their supporting cast really was amazing. And they were each funny and they were each given their moments. So as a comedy, I highly recommend. I am looking forward to seeing this on Blu-ray. I really enjoyed this movie. I liked what they did.
The moment this trailer came out, I thought, what a concept. This is brilliant. This is going to be great. And I was really excited for it. And overall, maybe I had higher expectations, but I wasn't as fully thrilled as I could have been. And I think in part, it's due to the fact things get too serious too fast. And then maybe it's my analytical mind. I'm thinking, okay, either now the second thing is all going to be a hoax, like those cheesy movies where it was like, at the end, you get like, oh, it was all a dream.
Or it was all fake. Are you ripping off masks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, it's either going to have this type of ending or something completely different. And if it has something completely different, then it's going to be a great movie. It had a little bit something. It had, ironically, both.
Right.
It combined into one, which was unexpected. But it still didn't live up in the same way. And I think, it was just tough, like, basically, Jason's arm is completely shot, and I was like, "Ooh, this is." I don't know if I want to be laughing at that. So that's what made it a little bit harder for me.
The dark humor in it was the way in which it was handled, and I think it was handled direction worked, but the actors sold it too. Rachel McAdams. Mm-hmm. Sold trying to get the bullet out, and that's it. Again,
whole gagging.
Is that? Oh, I think that's bone. And then he lifts up his arm. And they're like, what's that on the other side? That would be called the exit wound. Like, and again, they hid that so well that you actually think she's diving for a bullet. But then when you find out there is no bullet to get, you're like, oh, my God. And that's the whole thing with the blood. Like, don't start. Don't start. Those little moments I really found, that's what sold this movie for me. Mm-hmm. Was stuff like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't disagree necessarily. I was laughing too, but I definitely did find myself thinking a little bit more so than I initially would in a comedy.
And your theater when I saw mm-hmm. it was relatively crowded. Maybe not sold out like yours, but
mine was sold out.
I always will argue like some of the best cinematic experience like going to the theater. It's either a really good comedy. A really good horror movie, because when you talk about the interaction of the audience and how it relates to the screen, like when everybody laughs in a comedy and it's so infectious, it's hard not to get wrapped up and involved in the theater, in the movie theater, because you're basically with all these strangers and what's happening on screen.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Juliet, you got a chance to see it as well. Juliet is our engineer. What did you think of Game Night before...
I thought it was really hilarious. I think it was really funny. And I think, Dimitri, you're making a good point where there are so many twists and turns, right? And you thought the movie was going one direction and who's behind this whole thing? And it was always a different person. And even at the end, right, when one of the characters even makes a joke, was like, hey, I made this all up. And then he was like, no, actually, I didn't. But wouldn't it have been cool if he did? And even that, you know, they've made that joke in that storyline so many times. And yet again, it still works. And I thought that was really genius.
Yeah.
I think the great thing about this humor is that there are so many different types of humor in this movie. You had your topical reference jokes, then you had your slapstick jokes, and then you just had the acting type of jokes when we had Gary just recede into the darkness. That's funny to look at, you know.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of humor in different ways throughout this film.
And that's the darkness that I was saying. Like when he recedes and he's at his doorway, like that's very sort of kind of in a sense, that's Hitchcockian in the way of the way that it was framed and shot in the shadow, and he's hiding in the shadow. But it was much like, I should also say, it didn't have to rely on raunch. Not that I mind raunch. This is a very rated R movie, right? Language, a little bit of violence and whatnot. But it didn't have to rely on a lot of raunchy stuff. And that, too, I found, like, they found different ways to make things comical. And again, I'm not a prude. I got nothing against raunchy movies. But there were things in Game Night. Like, I remember the first Hangover. When the first Hangover movie came out, above and beyond the raunch, what I found so funny about that movie is that the jokes are unexpected. I didn't see certain things coming, so when they happened on screen, I was just laughing my ass off. That's what I found in this movie. One of the, again, the joke, a great gag in this thing is where they're being chased by a henchman. They're in an airport. They're in a runway. And the belt in the box, and it's like turn, and you're like going, oh my god, yeah, that's charades. So obvious. They do charades, which they use in their Game Night, so I get the tie-in. But when she finally turns it on, it goes so slow, and they're like, seriously, that's the slowest moving belt. And I'm like going, I didn't see that coming. I thought the guy was gonna get squashed. When they change the rules like that, that's to me good comedy. Yeah, it's short things, short bursts.
Absolutely. And Marissa, you may note that, okay, you don't know if it's going to hold up for the next 20 years. And when it comes to comedy, I think you have to sort of put that aside as far as writing it. And you know, whatever jokes you can make, whether it be referential and so forth, if it's of the time and it's going to make people laugh, go for it. And because first and foremost, what will make that comedy last is if it's funny to begin with.
Right.
So I, you know, whether or not it holds later on in life, I don't need it to, you know, but I can still revisit a lot of old Adam Sandler comedies and still find them funny.
I love topical in reference and like the slapstick. I'm a huge fan of slapstick. I mean, Laurel and Hardy is still classic. You know, the Stooges are still funny. But I only say that because like the references, as in like there was BuzzFeed line, there's Django Unchained, there's like something that's still relevant today, but in 20 years no one's gonna really know what, you know, these are. So that's I don't know if those same jokes will hit as funny.
Maybe they'll be a different layer.
But see, for me, this movie doesn't rely on that. So, but I think it's a really great conversation to have, right? Because when you look at movies like A Blazing Saddles, when you look at movies like Airplane, Airplane was rooted, and you could say that movie is dated because of some of the jokes and whatnot, but the movie still remains funny. There's this other duo that came out for like a New York second and a half. They were doing movies like Disaster Movie and such, mm-hmm. and they thought that they were the new Mel Brooks. And those movies were so referential and so topical that today, I mean, these movies only came out a couple of years ago. They were so horrible when they came out that today, and because they were so referential, they will not work 2 weeks later because they're so referential. This movie doesn't rely on referential humor where somebody may not get a BuzzFeed joke, that's fine. But the other gags, I think, carry it through. Yeah. And the characters, people will always still have a Game Night. People will always get that, right? In this sort of kind of, in our day and age where video games are like really popular, there are still some places, and I've done this twice now, where like you're in a locked room mystery. I don't know if you've ever done this.
Escape rooms,
right? That's a big thing. Like this kidnapping thing I've heard about, right? Where you can set some stuff up like that. So it takes up the Game Night up a notch. It introduces something relatively new. And again, if you care for the characters enough and what they're doing, it's funny. Yeah. And some of the references, you're right, 20 years from now, there probably won't be an issue. Like, what the hell is a BuzzFeed?
Exactly.
And that's when you'll have to explain that to your kids. And that's fine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, to me, it's no different than like Office Space having old printers and so forth. And it's like, okay, well, listen,
very relevant.
Whether I've used that or not, who cares? All right, but let's tie that in as from the writing perspective, right? Jonathan Goldstein and John Francis Daly, they were hired to rewrite and direct this comedy. They were pretty much finishing up with Spider-Man Homecoming and their work on that. And so they had some time, let's say.
Sure.
And they, you know, it felt like a very much a thing that they wanted to do. Originally, Jason Bateman was always kind of on board for this movie, and he was going to direct it, much like he did
Bad Words.
Yeah. And it would have been interesting to see him direct it, but they said, you know, we'll do the rewrite, but we want to direct too. And so they got their shot at it.
Yeah, and like the original script was by Mark Perez, who had the general notion of a game night among friends that goes very wrong and becomes a crime movie. So, and like in this movie definitely has like the comedy and also a crime thriller mystery, some action here and there. And it was actually John Fox who was producer on this film. He used to be at DreamWorks, and it was sold to him, and then he got the directors on board. And then once Rachel McAdams actually got on board with this film, it was officially a go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was a good role for her.
Yeah. This, as far as, like, the crime mystery and so forth, like, that's why Clue, as a movie, to me, worked. It's like the ultimate sort of fantasy of all that culmination in terms of games.
I mean, murder by death.
Yeah.
But that's a different type of, like, that's a slapstick comedy. And you can sort of kind of throw this in there as being a slapstick comedy. You're dealing with a group of people where I think this movie really works, and it may have failed under the hands of somebody else. And I'm not saying anything bad about, like, say, Jason Bateman and directing, but I'm just saying that you separated your people, too. Like, they weren't always all together as this group, this game night group. They faction off in as couples.
Very early on.
Very early on. And yet, there wasn't one couple I could have cared less about. Each couple brought their own dynamic to the story, whether it's trying to figure out who the celebrity it was.
They had their own story.
Denzel?
I mean, and again, a very unexpected gag and joke and punchline. Or is it the guy that brings the British woman, the Irish woman, as a ringer? And they each had their own stories that, for me anyways, was each entertaining, engaging, and I sort of cared. And then the way that everything comes back together seemed organic. So there wasn't one couple that I let's get back to the main story. It's like I liked every story, like, yeah, thread going through. Mm-hmm. And that worked.
Absolutely. Well, we'll get into the storylines because we love our characters. But before we do, I want to tell you guys about something that you guys will enjoy, hopefully, because I know certainly the characters in the movie could have used this. Because if you want to learn and grow in all areas of your life, then there's a podcast for you. I know we're a podcast, so you already listen to podcasts. The one I'm talking about here, though, is Conversations with Maria Menounos. It's hosted by Popcorn Talk co-founder Maria Menounos, and it drops every Friday on iTunes, just like us. And it features celebrity interviews and influencers, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career and relationships, finances, and more. Let Maria be the big sister you never had. All you have to do is go to iTunes, subscribe, it's free. And be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know that we're the ones who sent you by tweeting her at Maria Menounos. And in fact, every so often, you might hear me or Dimitri be a guest panelist on the show.
And you know what's wonderful about the show? Look, you get blogged down with podcasts, right? There's so many out there. How many of them can you point to that are truly positive, right? And not only that, but there's an exuberance. We know Maria, right? But there's an exuberance that she gives off, that for the people who listen to this podcast, you truly will come away being entertained. You won't feel like this is not Dr. Phil. This is not like your
teacher. That's this show.
Jesus, I hope not. It is a really exuberant, great, positive show with a sunny host, sunny personality that you literally will come walking away entertained. And then if you walk away with something else, like, you're all the more better for listening. And it's just fun. It's just fun to listen to. And that's from a guy's perspective. I know I'm just broadening this audience. So
fair
I
enough.
Think it works really well.
And the good news is we try to share that goal here with At Anatomy in a different conversation.
Absolutely.
So hopefully we're of the same elk. All right. Let's talk about our players, shall we?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's start with the more of the unusual character. Not the unusual, sure. But let's talk about our friend who brings in the ringer. Yes. What you guys like about him? I there's so many things for me that I enjoyed about his character.
His character, of course, you have to have the stupid one. Right. Honestly, he's right. The stupid one. But he's so ridiculously stupid, you have to keep laughing at him. And you're like, how thick can this guy get? And then every joke, what makes this so funny is that his character is so serious. Like, he thinks he's funny.
Right, and he thinks he's smart.
Yeah, and he thinks he's smart. But also, like, something that may have, that went by so quick, but I think a lot of people might have missed it, at the end credits, when they're doing the whole storyboard of everybody, they show his picture, and it says that he was a student of Harvard. I was like, this guy did not go to Harvard. But, and that's the ironic joke of it. But his character was just, like, ridiculous. Like, every guy you kind of know in the, like, 20s, 30s mixed together. But also, he was likable in a sense.
Well, yeah. And again, when we talk about a punchline that comes, like, you don't see coming, when we first meet the character, he's with these bims, these women who are as dumb as a box of bricks,
Instagram
right?
Instagram models.
And they make him actually look smart. Like, the way that they, like, you think that he's losing the game, not because necessarily of him, but because of the dates that he's bringing along the game night. Until he actually brings someone really smart. And then you realize, oh, no wonder why he was with these women. He's dumb. But to your point, he played it so well. And again, I'm just going to go back to when they're trying to bribe the woman at the mystery, you know, kidnapping thing. And he's just taking out the money and going, well, would this change your mind?
So,
and then it gets to, well how much money do you have? Well, I have is $17.
Okay, so but to that point, right, he's not doing it from a place of stupidity. He's doing it from, I only have friggin' $17. How do I ride this out?
Like $100. All I have is $17.
And the real joke of it was, where his stupidity actually came out was, oh, you're going to keep all of it. Okay, gotcha, yeah, gotcha. Because he really wanted his $17 back. That to me was the funnier part of it. Of
she
it all.
Just grabs it all. I was like, that's a smart woman.
you're just going to... Yeah,
okay. As far as him, but you know, it's a good notion to make that he was sort of raised because of the players, but he did early on know a couple of the answers. And, you know, because when you talk about...
It's subterfuge. Like, yeah. You're tricked.
Like, you know, certainly Max and Annie, they're not on the same wavelength for these games. He's describing Ed Norton, I think it is, and...
Hulk.
What clues are you getting? Like, yeah, Hulk. It's like, what?
Hulk.
And so it's just funny because none of them seem on the same page in terms of all the players. And, you know, because that was a clue. He got it. He was like, oh, I would have guessed Ed Norton. Because I think it was just at that point that he was talking about the underground fight clubs.
Right.
Yeah. And I did like, he did have a moment, you know, Ryan had a moment with that he finally got his fight club that he's been dropping the lines. Oh. He's like, we're going to eventually see it. You knew that was going to happen. But you do have to give him credit. He's the one that found the egg. I'm like, all right, he does actually serve a purpose. As stupid as he is, he did do a critical action.
But he found it in the way that Inspector Clouseau... Like, he didn't find it because he was looking for it. He found it because he wanted to see Fight Night with homeless people. Like, and he just happened to be there, and somebody just happened to open this tape. And he's like, hey, now that scene, too. The way that whole thing plays out was, like, it's so... That's slapstick funny to me.
And, well, that was a masterclass in cinematography.
Oh, right. The guy just falls in front of him. Everyone has to look at him.
Yeah, and Jesse Plemons played him, like, really well. And this is a guy that's not normally
known. Jesse's...
Jesse Plemons is Gary.
Gary.
We're talking about Ryan.
Jesse's the policeman.
Sorry. He's the policeman. So he's not a person that we know from comedy, right? And so when people... That to me is a sign of being a good actor. When you can be in a genre and be able to hold this kind of comedy down and play that character where it's lovable and not hateable. Mm-hmm. How many times have we seen stupid people on screen?
So often.
And they become so annoying, mm-hmm. right? But he was, like, in a sense, lovable. And the little romance that was budding between him and his ringer, I thought worked. I thought it worked.
Well, part of what made it truly work was, as we pointed out, like, regardless of how he found the egg, the fact that he knew what he had to do and he had no reservations about it.
Right.
That's what makes him an asset to your team.
Right.
And want to be friends with him.
Right.
Let's switch over to Kevin and Sarah. Right. That's their names, Kevin and Sarah.
No, Sarah was with Ryan.
Got it. Michelle.
Yes.
Michelle and Kevin. Got it.
Lamorne Morris and Kylie.
You got Kevin and Michelle.
Yeah. As far as couple, they were the most lovable to me. I know Jason and Max and Annie were fun, but as a couple, they just had such a weird chemistry. Because they just couldn't get on the same page of game night. Whereas here, you know, they were both childhood sweethearts turned, you know, that got married and so forth. And so the fact that he made such a stinker about that, and then when it blows up in her face over Denzel Washington.
Or not Denzel Washington.
And at first, like, you're kind of looking at that like, okay, well, maybe it's some sort of weird flashback, and maybe it was Denzel.
Yeah. That's right. I'm like, well, they... I had the same feeling. I'm watching the movie going, well, okay, so they're not going to get Denzel to be in the movie, but they got a decent look-alike.
Probably his stand-in or something.
Right, but then as the movie's going on, it's like, well, that's not Denzel. Now, to Lamorne Morris's credit, he does an exceptionally good imitation of Denzel Washington. I thought he was cracking me up, and this is the guy that's on New Girl. Right, so he has some comedic chops. I really felt that he shined in this movie. I thought he was great. And Kylie Bunbury as Michelle, I thought she was really good too. I to your point, I bought them as a couple.
Yeah.
They're a really fun couple.
Because she knew, she even said, I know this is going to upset you, so let's not. And the fact that he just has to focus on that made it work. And him too, I mean, for all intents and purposes, all three couples very early on start with a different strategy, much like a game. You know, you got the iPhone. We just talked about him. They go to the lady who put on this thing, quote unquote.
Right. Right.
And these guys have nowhere else to begin. But let's check his computer. Let's figure something out. And then, as far as getting out of that room, it's by total mistake.
Good chat. I felt bad for it. Also with the slapstick humor, you know, trying to build a tower and then he falls over and just, oh, that looked painful just watching him. It's like, oh. But still done very funny.
Really good physical comedy, too. The gag worked. And them getting trapped in the room, like, worked only because it delivered laughs. And because they kept on pulling in that thread of, who did you sleep with? Like, yeah, I'd be very upset if it was Denzel Washington. And then later on, she's like, yeah, it was Denzel. And you're like, what? And then when she shows the picture, and then when she's proven wrong, you're like, again, I didn't see that. Saw none of that coming.
And well, it's
really funny.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Marissa, but like, if you're a woman and you got to sleep with Denzel, like, mm-hmm. that's a prize. I'm not saying like that mm-hmm. you know, sex is the only thing that you guys should be aiming for, but like, hey, Denzel's a prize to be won.
Hey, I would probably brag about that too. Not gonna lie, he's Denzel.
What's funny too is how they were playing a game. They were playing a drinking game.
Yeah.
What was the name of the drinking game? Like,
Never Have I Ever, which is like the most common drinking game ever.
So Never Have I Ever, you know, slept with a celebrity, and she drinks, and they all stop and look. She goes, "What? Oh, yeah, I loved how she tried to cover up."
Bad timing.
Oh, it's just bad timing of when I was taking a sip of my drink. And he's like, "No, it wasn't. Who'd you sleep with?"
But let me also, as far as Never Have I Ever, it's a great device because it's funny on the surface, but as far as a technique, we get to know each of the characters pretty lightning fast.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
If we didn't already know them.
Right.
And so that, obviously, it sets up things for later on, but we learn so much about the other characters, absolutely, the specifics of which I blank at this point. But anyway, yeah, absolutely a great technique. And I love their ability to tie in all the game elements throughout the movie. You made mention of the charades and tons of other stuff.
Right? Charades. They had their own escape room plan.
Right, right.
Like, and then you had the thriller mystery.
Yep.
On Clue, did it.
Right. And the other thing too that I'll harp on, I know it's movie romance magic, but I bought into the romance of Jason Bateman and his wife Rachel McAdams. I like the fact that these are two people who met at a game night. They had this same love of a hobby. And they got married and was successful. I like the throwing in of, like, you know, trying to start a family. And to me, I bought it. I liked the romance of it all. Just like I liked the romance that was happening with every other character. Nothing about it seemed very forced to me. And again, I will go with the acting. I felt was very, for a comedy, it was really good.
Yeah, yep. There was layers. I was going to save this for a little bit later, but now's a good time to say it. In the trailers, there was that moment. It kind of gives away the airplane moment when he gets sucked into it.
Right.
However, that wasn't the true punchline. To me, it was funny because when you talk about her wanting a kid, and, you know, that desire. And when she really gets told of, like, you're not a mom. You don't look
now
like a mom.
Now with those hips.
Yeah.
Thank you.
She was just so flattered. And you understood it of why she would react that way. That, to me, was more endearing and funny than the gag itself.
And I think what was also funny, just within seconds of each other, was the whole fire extinguisher gag. Like, I'm a sucker for, like, hey, if you get hit funny, I'm going to laugh at you. And they used that pretty well.
Yeah, agreed. For me, this was a good role for Rachel McAdams to take. I think the last time that I can remember her was in Spotlight, which is great. I think she's a very good actress.
She was in Doctor Strange.
That's Doctor Strange.
But people forget she started off with a lot of comedy.
Yes.
Mean Girls. Hello. She had Hot Chicks, as terrible as the film that was too. But Rachel McAdams has done a lot of comedy.
But I think this is the right vehicle for her. Because like Jason Bateman, she can carry off the sarcasm and yet the innocence and the dull-eyed. Like, oh, really? Oh, my God. Like, and I appreciate that in a woman that they can switch gears like that. I love sarcasm in a comedy. And I think nobody's as good as right now. Like, Jason Bateman is fantastic at delivering those kind of lines. And I think their chemistry between Bateman and McAdams was awesome. I thought they were really suited to be a couple. I'd like to see them again. But the whole thing with the gun, which again, we've seen this sort of kind of thing before where we know that the person who's holding the gun is real and everybody's like, we've seen it going as far back, Weird Science, okay?
Oh, yeah.
But seeing it with Rachel McAdams and Jason Bateman and how it plays out, and then when he gets shot and the whole, okay, I read this online, I don't have, the squeaky toy was funny. That's a funny gag. I bought them together.
Yeah, they were absolutely fantastic. And Jason has a way, he's generally the straight man in most comedies. Like, he anchors it, and then everything else around him is what, it provides the helter-skelter. And, you know, as far as that, Annie was just kind of one degree removed.
Right.
And, there's a sincerity there, and he's really, the fact that she gets the champagne instead of, like, vodka to numb the pain.
Right. Oh, yeah,
way to pivot.
Right.
I don't know.
See, it was such a good point, we had to accentuate it.
My phone was off. But what I really, really like, too, is how they, again, just being together as a couple and how they worked together, But their problems.
They played off of each other.
Yeah, they played off of each other, but they had like real, like you bought them as that couple. And you know that game night is important to them and to the other people who play and living in that neighborhood. And you just, they really worked well. And Rachel McAdams, I think, she was above and beyond just like a housewife. She too has her career and doing what she's doing. Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Goodness.
I don't even know what that is. Wow. I'm a very busy person and I had my phone shut off. So I apologize for that.
You're a busy man.
Yeah, I'm a busy man. So
listen, it's our fans calling you for game night. Jesus.
Telling you to shut up. No, I really buy that they're the anchor of this game night, that they're very competitive, but at the same time, it's a lot of fun in games, you know,
for them all.
But also, she was the great wife in which she understood her husband's plight against his brother. She would be like, oh my God, I can't believe. She goes, oh my God, you're so right. I can't believe he's playing off that and he's making you look bad in front of your friends. She defended her husband.
Yeah.
It was a good character.
She was supportive of her husband.
Yes.
When needed.
Yeah.
God reminds you.
So speaking of that, that was, when all is said and done, it was such a sweet sentiment that the brother did actually try to do of like, hey, this guy likes game night and he loves this car. And we've never gotten along that well, let me combine the two and create this ultimate fantasy for him, and he walks away with his dream car.
Right.
So the sentiment's there.
Uh-huh, and I bought it. But again, what's great about it too is that we know that punchline early on in the movie because they find it in the computer, if I'm correct. They find it in the room, like where they go, oh, the key is in your pocket. They're like, what pocket? What key? And then that comes back later. Like, I set this whole thing up for you to reach into your pocket. And I'm like going, oh, wow.
Yeah.
It was there the whole time.
And Kyle Chandler was really good, too. Like, he can play the bravado really well. But I, not knowing that he was a scam artist, I bought everything that he was saying. And I actually, yes, he always had to be better than his brother. But I did think that he was doing things. All right, I'm going to have everything at my house. We're going to blow game night out of the water. We're going to do something different and fun. I think, like, that character at that time was in the spirit of things. For sure. And then when things change,
they change fast.
Yeah, and you can still feel sort of sympathetic towards that character. You don't go and hate him.
But you certainly understand of, okay, wow, you are a greedy little guy.
Yeah, and also, I'm like, there's a point where the audience is like, yeah, all this crap is happening to you, but you kind of deserve it.
Right.
You know, and but like at the end, you still like him.
But you don't want him to die.
Yeah.
Right?
But you kind of brought that upon yourself.
Right.
Kind of deal. I did like that whole fight that went on in his house.
In the house?
When the game night, like, just got started, and they're like, wow, this is really well done.
This is a great fight.
Yes. And they're just sitting there eating their popcorn. I'm like, yeah, that's
you gotta
funny.
Try the guac.
You gotta try it. And that was a good, like, action movie kind of a fight.
Right,
like,
that's
that
a fight.
Was brutal. Oh, the other great gag in the movie? That is some strong glass table.
Like, this table's acting weird tonight.
Yeah, these tables. Because every single time you're like going, boom, it's like, oh, that table. Oh, and even the characters, when the characters in the movie have the same thought, wow, that's a really strong glass table.
Yeah. But like,
and it happens a couple of times.
No, that's such a common trope in movies where like
action
windows break,
absolutely,
tables break during an actual fight. And like when it doesn't, you're like, you expect it, but it's not.
You said that like, wow, the tables are acting, glass tables are acting really strange tonight.
That was great.
Absolutely.
A very smart joke.
It is, because it took something that, as Marissa pointed out, something we've seen before, just differently.
Right.
And comments on it, because, like, what's the Charlize Theron one? The action movie one?
Concrete Blonde?
Oh, so many.
Atomic Blonde.
Yeah.
Like, we literally talked, like, when we talked about Atomic Blonde, we talked about how much glass they would shatter everywhere. So, as far as action movies are concerned, like, that's a goal. So when you reverse that, it becomes funny.
Yeah.
Let's definitely talk about Jesse Plemons as Gary.
Scene stealer. This he just seems to. I mean, he's good. He's definitely like a rising actor. He's been doing a lot as of lately in the last couple of years. So I applaud him for that. Gary, you knew Gary was going to have a moment because just his slow build up of a character. Okay, this guy's weird. He's a fan of Game Night. Eventually, he's going to have to get into the fold of Game Night in some way. And I just knew at the beginning, I was like, he's going to have a moment. You watch. They're going to need him.
Yeah, and
they did.
And this guy, he just finished working with Spielberg in the Post. I think he's worked with Spielberg before, you know. And now he's a great character actor. He fulfills a need, a role. He does it very well. He can play drama, or he can play in this kind of comedy. But the comedy in this movie is a little bit more subversive. It's a little bit darker. The way he played it off was great. When you talk about the end credits, like him trying to slide across the hood of the car, you know, in his heart, he wanted to be a good cop. But he felt very alone. He's divorced. And the way that he played it, always holding his dog.
Even
it
was his like, running gag.
Yeah. It was dog. Like a villain in a James Bond movie with the cat. And he kept, it's like, so, no, why do you have 3 bags of chips?
Which is an astute observation.
Right. He's like, well, you buy one, get 2 free. That doesn't make any sense. How's Frito-Lay going to make any money off of that? And it was the way he said it. And you're like,
economically.
Right.
But then also, like, at the credits with the whole graphic things, and, like, they tie back to it, it's like, not true, or, like, it's false, or whatever. I was like, that's funny. It's still funny.
Yeah, and it makes him a great... That sort of villainous look, it makes him a great mastermind to ultimately have put this together.
To put something, you're right.
Yeah.
And the layers upon layers, that's what makes it funny. The fact that, okay, there's Game Night, but then it goes awry, and now it's a real Game Night.
Yeah.
But it's still a fake Game Night, but ooh, there is a little bit of realness to it. So, ultimately, they're all... As smart as they are, there's just one tiny element that the one more added thing that's missing from all their plans.
Right.
And, yeah. I did love the dog scene with Max and the blood, because you don't expect that at all. That's not teased in the trailer whatsoever.
No.
And when you just see this like slow devolving of what the scene is happening, blood just getting everywhere in the whitest room possible.
In the whitest room possible. And when he tries to wipe it off, he's like, no, that's not going to work. And then the dog shakes it off. That was the best. They just
even the reveal of the shirt, you're like, oh no, he used the shirt.
It was, funny stuff.
So brilliant. Like a very well done humorous scene. Because not a lot is happening. He's just trying to clean a dog.
Well, and he was just looking, and we see the drip, and the dog starts licking, and then it's going and all. Oh, it escalates as good slapstick physical humor should. And again, I say your talent is behind your. The actors need to be talented because a lot of that. It involves timing. Mm-hmm. So the way that whole gag comes off. And then again, the unexpected, when the dog shakes it off. Mm-hmm. It's just like, done. It's over. You're like, at that point. And he's like, okay. He tries to like, all right, everybody, let's go.
He's like, F it.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah, that was good.
Well, I certainly appreciated the fact that ultimately he just wanted to be a part of Game Night. And
yes.
And they eventually allowed him to sort of fulfill that dream, as it were. Okay. Any other sort of... should we talk about the real part of this movie, a.k.a. the Belgian? No, Bulgarian. The Bulgarian.
Yeah, but one more thing regarding that character. When they're playing at the end, they're playing Pictionary.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing his drawing, and then it's like, no, that's the Shawshank Redemption. It's like, what part of the Shawshank? He goes, well, I remember seeing that thing. That's me crying.
No one's going to know that.
It was the way he delivered it. He goes, "That's me crying when I saw it at my local theater." He goes, "How can you not get that? That's the Shawshank Redemption." And everyone's like, "Okay."
Yeah. Well, here's the crazy part is, right? The true joke of it, if you really want to dissect it, and I know that's the antithesis of making comedy, but had they all been friends and childhood friends, you know, because in a game of charades or whatever, there's stuff that I can point to if it was us that's an inside joke, right. And it could have worked.
Yeah. Right.
However, they don't know him.
Right.
No way anyone was sitting next to him while he was crying in that theater.
Right. No.
And like to tie it back, like inside jokes, you can tell that like Max and Annie knew each other for so long because there was a moment when they were playing Pictionary, and Annie draws a box he draws a box just like a simple square.
Right.
And they come out with like the most extravagant movie title. Like, how would you get that from a box?
Right.
You know, but they know each other so well.
So
they
well.
Played yep. each other so well.
Absolutely. So. Awesome. Indeed.
And you can tell that it was that guy's wife that was probably the anchor to that team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She was no longer there. And he's the only one that's not a couple, so to speak.
That's what makes it so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen,
he's
you gotta
the
be
odd one out.
When you're picking game nights, so you gotta be brutal.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta be wise in who you choose.
Yep.
All right. So let's talk about the Bulgarian and kind of everyone else involved. As the thing reveals itself, I thought it was absolutely fantastic. And even like the egg itself, right? You're thinking like the MacGuffin is that, oh, the egg has value. No. What's inside the egg is what has value.
Right.
And so there's little layers upon layers everywhere.
I like this. It's like, this is made in China.
Again, a joke that you don't necessarily see coming. And when that egg like flies out and breaks, you're like, oh. And then when she's like, it's made in China. You're like, oh, it's not even a real egg. And when you find out that it's a knock list...
I was like, how does witness protection add to all this? You know, like we had a murder, now to witness protection.
Right. You know, and Michael C. Hall is the Bulgarian. He was funny.
I did not expect him whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And, like,
they
didn't,
hit him well.
When the Bulgarian came on screen, I was like, oh, hi, Michael C. Hall.
No.
What are you doing
yeah.
here?
They did a good job hiding him from the trailer. That's another good thing to the marketing. The trailer did not give everything away.
No.
Which I appreciated.
They gave the setup, which was the premise enough was funny, gave you a couple laughs, and you were sold.
Yeah, you got the bullet. You got the bullet, but you didn't have the bullet hole, the exit wound, if I recall.
You got the
guy getting dragged into the jet, but you didn't get all the stuff that led to the stuff that was on the jet that's equally, if not as funny, is that one gag too.
Right. And the trailer doesn't really explain that there's like three couples you're following throughout the entire
right.
film.
Right.
Like
yeah.
three different, like multiple different storylines.
It was, it was well done. Michael C. Hall in the Bulgarian, he was really good. And then when you find out that it's real, that there is a Bulgarian, that it wasn't just set up, again, which raises the stakes, you know, to when we get to that private jet. Things are a little tense, but again, the chasing the jet down in the car. Oh, I'm gonna fly into that thing. I'm gonna take out the wheel. Oh, I can take in three. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. Like, I have a crazy enough idea. It might just work.
It might just work. And I like how they just
go
right under the car. Again, another gag that's really... Everything that took place on the jet, whether it was slaps of humor like that or physical, or the dialogue was really funny.
Yeah. And I love the fact that oftentimes self-referential of you know, okay, like if something's been used but it's funny, let's use it similarly just in a slight different way.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately, yeah, they accomplish the same thing. Yeah. But there's that tiny adage.
Just a little different.
Speaking of which, as far as production, here's a great quote. It was a conscious decision on our part to try to create a sense of unease with the audience. And that was in our approach with even the camera work, we try to keep it sort of mechanical and soulless so that we didn't give the audience the benefit of having a cameraman there in the scenes where we are supposed to be the kind of freaked out. And not just in lighting. Honestly, we weren't entirely sure if it was going to work because it's kind of a new way to approach a comedy. But fortunately, it only served to amplify the comedy because I think the level of discomfort that you get from those choices serves to make people relieved when there is a joke because it was kind of seesawing back and forth between the two feelings.
Right.
Yeah. Agreed. So. But like you, I think for example was the moment when you had the friends at Gary's place asking for his help. They're like, yeah, well, let's do game night.
Right.
And he's standing there with his dog and he like slowly recedes. Like that's an actual good moment where you think there'd be like camera motion, but it sets up and looks like a thriller.
Yeah.
You know?
It definitely had a noir quality to it. Yeah. Which again sets it apart and makes it a little bit different from a lot of raunchy types comedies. So it gives you something else to pay attention to. I think for the most part that blending worked. It just provided us something different and allowed for comedic moments. So I think the cinematography was done a little bit differently in this movie, in the way that the cameras were set up. And at the same time, though, it had that kinetic pace of a good slapstick comedy. Yeah. So, yeah.
And like the chase scene of the egg, that was a time where I feel like they switched their approach from this, but it's very much it almost felt like first person because it's like gotta get that damn egg and we right. went so close that thing was right in front of our you know our viewpoint. And everywhere it went, just round and around and around right. it went.
I love that scene. I think it was so well done just because they clearly made it look like one shot following all of them throughout the house. Very well done in production. And it looks so different from the rest of the film. I think that scene would be cool to watch in 3D, right. not going to lie.
Yeah, and they chose this house partly because it offered lots of interior balconies. Stairways and levels where they could choreograph the sequence. So it took them several days to figure out all the moves. And then it literally took over a day and a half to shoot. And it's 90 seconds on film. So, you know, they had to cut a gap actually in a railing to move the camera through it. At one point, we had two camera assistants and our cinematographer standing on a ladder so they could pass the camera to the second floor where Rachel was standing. So think about, so it's not just following an actor. Then now you've got to get the crew people, all right, guys, coming down. And then you got to rehearse that.
Pass it.
Yeah. And heaven forbid you drop a camera.
Especially when you're head. On a ladder.
Right.
No, of all places. I think it was very well done. Cinematography, like, that was really cool because there was a lot of kinetic motion. You went from literally the basement up until, like, the third floor all around, and I think it was just very well done.
Right. And you know, it filmed primarily in Atlanta. They used some soundstage work, but there was nothing. I found every locale, whether they were filming it on a soundstage or whether it was in a house to do all this, it was very organic. You know, I felt the locale really lent
it. It felt like a good suburban neighborhood mm-hmm. in right. anywhere America.
Yeah.
And there were practical locations. It was the Cartersville Airport is where that runway is. So, yeah, it did feel like I'm in the burbs and these are just the, you know, they just want to play game night.
Well, game nut went up a notch.
Yeah.
And so as far as editing, right, all the editors overall are known for doing comedies. They work together, whether it be Role Models, Vacation, Very Harold and Kumar Christmas, which I absolutely enjoyed.
Yeah.
And so they know comedy. And one of the things I did actually appreciate about this, I could see in the wrong hands a movie like this being 2 hours. Oh, it's such a funny concept. Like, we got to have it longer, so forth.
Episode.
And I think there could have been some things tightened up here and there, perhaps, but it would have taken away 45 seconds at most, I think. And so I think that the choices that they've already made work extremely well. And so I give them kudos to that because for whatever reason, people seem to think that comedies nowadays need to be far longer than they ever need to be. 90 minutes.
90 minutes is like, that's a good time. You can go a little over, a little, you know, try not to go a little less. You know, like I said, for me, the pacing of the movie was working right up until we got to the scene on the bridge. And then we started in, like, with the Bulgarian and trying to figure out, okay, what's real, not real. There was a lot of dialogue happening. But ultimately, I think, especially, like, the first half of that movie, it flies so well. And you need to keep that pace. Remember when we talked about Rough Night, right? That movie did not have the energy, the up energy that this movie had, to keep you going. And that relied on a different type of comedy. And it was nowhere near as clever as the gags that were done in this movie. And this movie up to that point, again, when we talk about the Fight Club scene, which leads into our egg toss scene. I mean, those are all very well said. Even with two people locked into a room, okay, you have two really good actors who are able to deliver dialogue to one another while trying to figure out how to get out of this room. There was nothing that was boring. And that's, again, there was nothing that was boring with any of those characters. I really enjoyed each one of them. We didn't talk about the actress who played the Irish actress who kept on being mistaken for English. Or was she English or Irish?
Yeah, she was good.
She was very good. And she, what are you even doing here? Oh, I just want to see how this all plays out. Just, you don't need to be here. This is like, you don't know us. You don't need to be part of this.
Stick around.
I'm gonna stick around.
Yeah, I'll feel bad in the morning.
I'll feel bad.
always a good excuse.
Yeah.
Cliff Martinez did the score for this. I'm surprised. Christoph Lennertz, I thought he's such a comedy realm a composer that I think it worked. And you know, it's sold in enough. I actually really like Julia. Can you bring up the
soundtrack?
Yeah, the soundtrack. Like, it has a very distinct and fun, energetic.
I liked the music because, like, throughout the film, like from beginning to the end, you do hear the music a lot, not overbearing. And we've talked about composers who are overbearing, but like the music was fun. It sounds like something you would hear in a video game or something, or like some type of game. It is like technical and technological, some synthesizers here and there, but they actually used a 74 piece ensemble of the Hollywood Studio Symphony, and they recorded it right here in Burbank, not far from us. Pretty neat.
Yeah, and you know, he's known for more serious movies, as he likes to put it. I'm the guy you call when the film's characters are doing drugs, getting shot, stabbed, beaten, or blown up. And so, now granted, that's kind of what's happening here, but it's a comedy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so, I thought, like, even just hearing this, I mean, this is like Ocean's 11 type of music.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah.
And there was some source music, too, and, you know, I was surprised, too, that they didn't go to, you know, Christopher Lennertz as well. You know, but I was thinking too, I think what makes the original Horrible Bosses really funny is that we had good characters and the punchlines to jokes. Like, I was thinking that scene in Horrible Bosses where they come walking out of a bar and it's in slow motion done to music, and then they go, why are we walking in slow motion? Like, you actually thought, so it's jokes like that that transcend into this movie, except they make it this a literal murder mystery clue kind of thing. But as a comedy director, I think this guy gets the beats right, and he was able to blend for the most part fairly well.
Absolutely.
You know, and it all worked together. The music worked because it also had that subterfuge of, oh my god, there's a mystery here, there's intrigue, there's suspense.
Yeah, it worked. It propelled it forward.
And we're working with everyday people too, who are thrown into a situation well above and beyond their means. Rachel McAdams is not a surgeon. She shouldn't be taking a bullet out of a fence post, let alone her husband's arm.
Using champagne.
Right. Using champagne.
She needed champagne for the GAT campaign.
Right.
So, as far as... I thought the trailers did a wonderful job, and as you talked about, it didn't reveal too much away, and oftentimes comedies have a habit of that. We talked about it. And so it sold the idea, and that was it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I hate movies that are just too, quote, gimmicky, but this was a brilliant concept done well, and I appreciated that. Yeah. And the trailer highlighted that. They did go back and forth. It was supposed to go February 14th, then it got pushed back, then it got pushed up. So we landed on February 23rd as the ultimate release date.
I can understand February 14th. I mean, you had couples would go see this film, you know, date night slash game night. There you go. But it would have also been along with 50 Shades.
Right.
Which, that's a big contender.
Absolutely. It was a good idea to, like, push back a little, you know, and to your point with the marketing. And to just reiterate, we have talked about, particularly in comedies, when they give too much away in a comedy, you sort of kind of feel that that's all they got. So they're trying to make you laugh to draw you in. But even when you get to those jokes, they're not as funny anymore. So here it works. Like, number one, the other thing that they didn't do, at least that I can recall, they didn't show me scenes in the trailer that didn't end up in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, everything I saw in the trailer was in the movie, but the trailer was pretty succinct. It sold me on a concept. And it wasn't a cheat. It didn't cheat the concept. It didn't become another movie. I mean, yes, it had the element of suspense in it, but it did. It still remained at its heart a comedy. So, you know, it didn't do a switch and bait, as trailers can so often do.
Yeah,
which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
numbers-wise, projection was somewhat correct in this. They projected 13 to 21 million opening weekend. It came in at just 400,000 shy of 17 million, so not too bad.
Yeah.
Overall opening weekend globally about 22 million.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've got domestically we're at 21.5 as of February 28th. Globally, it's foreign has done 8 million. So globally, we're at 29.5 million for a movie whose production budget was 37 million. You know, one thing we're neglecting to talk about too is that it's also out there. There's a juggernaut out there called Black Panther, and you know that movie, like this big tidal wave, is sucking up all of that water and energy. It's tough for movies like A Game Night, which got good reviews, 83%, if I believe, on Rotten Tomatoes, which is pretty decent.
For a comedy,
that's unheard of.
Yeah.
Today, absolutely. And, you know, there was other movies, Natalie Portman, you had Annihilation that's out there. But when you have a movie that, to a small extent, everybody knew Black Panther was going to be huge, but it continues to be huge, unexpectedly, like big numbers, breaking records. It's tough for every other movie out there because all the pieces of the pie, and by pieces of the pie, I mean the audience, you know, they're going to this. Maybe this week it slows down a little. I would love for more people to find Game Night.
It's got a B plus on Cinema Score. If it had an A minus, I would put it more on an A minus.
Me too.
Myself. Mm-hmm. And so, but relatively, it's still good word of mouth. And I think you can go see this with your friends, as Marissa said. You can do it as a couple. So there's multiple ways of seeing this movie, or you can just go alone. But I think, you know, I think most people will go see it in terms of groups because it's like, hey, let's go have fun.
Let me ask you something. Outside of our group, right, do you know anybody else who's seen the movie?
Yeah, I know quite a few, and they enjoyed it, and they went in groups.
Yeah, a lot of my other friends, they haven't gone out to see this yet.
Because everyone's watching Black Panther for the third time. Yeah.
I know people who've seen Black Panther 5 times.
Yeah. Now. So instead,
great movie, but
right. So instead of seeing Black Panther multiple times, go see Game Night for the first time.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's, you know, we are, I believe that in this day and age, at least I am, maybe I don't want to speak for everybody, but I'm starved for good comedies. Because as I said at the top, they are so far and few in between where we get good laughs. And damn it, we need laughs. We need good laughs. And this one does it. This makes a perfect date movie because it's not raunchy. It's not overly raunchy. It has, you know, there's little to be offended by, I think, in this movie. You know,
you'd be surprised what people get offended by.
I understand. But we've seen the broad spectrum. You know, we've seen the extreme and such. And this one falls right into a very, very, I think this is a safe comedy. Like, I could see.
If you're over 17.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it is rated R.
Well, no, so, I get that. Know. That's why, like, I wouldn't send 12-year-olds to this necessarily.
Yeah, there were 12-year-olds in my audience.
Hey, and then listen, I don't have anything against that either, but I wouldn't, like, say.
And here's the other thing about seeing a good comedy. If you do see it by yourself, a good comedy, you're still going to get wrapped up in the laughter. If everybody else is laughing around you.
Well, I saw it by myself, and yeah. I was laughing. I was the only one laughing in my room.
Oh, I wasn't. I wasn't the only one laughing, but I was. Yeah, I was laughed loud at some. Yeah, me too. And I think too, I was pleasantly surprised, and that's why I called it refreshing. Because I remember walking out, and I actually felt good for laughing. We need to laugh today. There's way too much out there that gives us pause, and that's not funny. So this movie had a good concept. It's a good concept movie. This is the kind of movies, in a sense, they would make in the 80s. Let's get a concept. Let's get a cast. And, you know, let's slap it together. This is a good concept comedy.
Absolutely. One of the reviews that I actually... Well, let me read what Rotten Tomatoes has to say about it, which I think is great. With a talented cast turned loose on a loaded premise and a sharp script loaded with dark comedy and unexpected twists, Game Night might be more fun than the real thing. Which, you know, sometimes their game night was kind of boring. No offense to Max and Annie. But this one comes from the rap. I actually think this is the last part of it. This frenetic R-rated farce is that rare comic gem that lands on all places without ever going to jail. That was cool.
That's true. Yeah.
Great way to write that.
Yeah. No, it's and it deserves to be seen by more people. And go out to the theater to see it, especially, like you said, after you've seen Black Panther 5 times, go out,
see Game Night.
Go see Game Night. And there hasn't been a comedy this year that I can recall.
That's not, like, animated or anything.
Right, and this was sort of, if I remember, I'd have to look it up, but if I remember, Fist Fight was released.
In February.
Sort of, it was the very beginning of the year. And I think that they may have tried to, like, follow that. Like, you know, Fist Fight did okay. But I think this movie is equally, if not a little more funnier than Fist Fight. And we enjoyed Fist Fight a lot, but I think this one wins. The poster could
not for my money.
You thought Fist Fight was a little funnier? Or better?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I love Fist Fight. Don't get me wrong. I love that movie. This movie is, I think the gags are a little smarter.
Right.
For this, but
maybe I'm a little bit dumber.
No. Marissa and I have been accused of taking dumb pills. Or maybe that was right. Just me.
No, that was both of us.
That was the one.
You're saying we were taking stupid pills.
Stupid pills.
Stupid pills. We'll never forget that.
We'll never let you live that down. I love that.
Well, hey, I didn't call you stupid. I said you took stupid pills.
We were taking stupid pills.
All right. See, it would have been much worse if I said you guys are both stupid.
Yeah.
And then I would have said it was because I was saying,
like,
stupid
pills. On the Ryan level stupid? Or...
Listen, I don't think he was that dumb.
Oh, no.
Well, he was
and the scale
wait
of...
Wait a minute. You have to give that character credit because he was smart enough to bring in somebody who is stupider than him to make him look smart.
He didn't realize that he was bringing in a smart person until she actually revealed she was pretty smart.
And she was just... the way she played it, too, she had this look of aghast, especially when giving the money. She's like, you know she can see the bill, right?
It's like, you don't have to do it slowly.
Oh, I love that stuff. So,
any final thoughts as we wrap this up, Marissa? Nay.
Funny, I would actually buy this on when it comes out on DVD. I might actually be down to see it a second time in theaters. It's a funny movie.
If you know, if somebody who hadn't seen it said, hey, I want to see Game Night, I'd say yes. I've been patiently awaiting for it to show up on pre-order via Blu-ray. It has not, where every other freaking movie you can press, Annihilation you can get and pre-order, and I'm sure by the end of the day, today, early
well,
tomorrow,
I think Annihilation for different
Red
reasons.
Sparrow you could probably get, but I know you can already order Black Panther. I mean, but not Game Night for whatever reason. Yeah. But cool. I'll pre-order it. I'll get it. And if somebody were to say, hey, I hadn't seen this, I'd go, yeah, I'll go see it again. Sometimes a comedy works better a second time around because once you
get a new layer.
And you're expecting jokes, so you see different things. And if it's a scene where everybody was laughing, you might have missed something that'll make you laugh even more.
Absolutely. So, Juliet, what about you? Any final thoughts? You've heard us talk. You haven't really said much, so I want to give you the floor.
Thank you. Yeah, I really enjoy this movie, and I think you're right, Dimitri. It's the type of movie, if someone hasn't seen it, I cannot wait to share it with someone else. I just reliving those jokes. They're really, really funny. I think it was a big hit for me, for sure.
Well, there you have it. I two thumbs up, face full of laughs. That's my review.
There you go.
As lame as it may be. All right. Once again, we wanted... Truly thank you guys for continuing to listen to us, watch us, and so if this is your first foray, we encourage you to check out other movies we've done. We've done comedies, the ones that we've mentioned, and we've certainly done other movies beyond just comedies, so check that out if you haven't done so already. And let us know your thoughts, your opinions. What was your favorite scenes? What joke made you laugh the most? Let us know. Some of you might not have loved this movie. That's okay. Let us know why. And we're very curious people, so don't just say, I didn't like the movie. Okay, that's fine, but why? Anyway, for more interactions, you can, of course, follow Marissa at Serafini TV.
That's right.
And at DMovies1701 for Dimitri. Yeah.
And please comment, what was the movie we did like a couple of weeks ago that we all sort of kind of didn't like all that much? But I had actually really... Oh, no, it was the... It was Phantom Thread.
Phantom Thread. People loved Phantom Thread. They were...
Well, I actually had a good conversation with somebody who had his theories. And you know what? Number one, he took such great time to write because he wrote like a good... He wrote a mini thesis, right? It was well thought out. And I even said, hey, look, whether I agree with you or not, I appreciate your writing. And I really do. You did it in a thoughtful manner. You weren't a bully about it. You weren't a troll. So whether I agree with it, I did appreciate the fact that you wrote it, and I get what you're saying. So that dialogue has been happening with us, I think, more so than just the trolls who will come out to spew the hate. Those people I just ignore, as well as I think we all do.
Absolutely.
But it still hurts sometimes.
Yeah, well. And you can follow me at Phil Svitek, and I do have to give a shout out to my first patron, Mick. Thank you, Mick. I appreciate you. If you want to be a patron as well, go to philsvtech.com. All right. Thank you guys as always. We'll catch you next time on we'll be doing Annihilation, Red Sparrow. And if nothing else, enjoy the Oscars this weekend.
Have fun.
Dimitri will certainly be tweeting. That's the reason to follow him.
Oh, I may be tweeting. Same. We'll see.
Well, now you have to. I put it out there.
All right. I'll tweet.
Bye, guys.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.